Amen. Thankful for great songs and great songwriters from now and from years gone by, and how they stand the testament of time. And we get to sing the truths of Scripture together. It's a blessing. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 82. Psalm 82 is where we're going to begin tonight. I wrestled a lot today on whether to go back to Exodus and talk more about the tabernacle. Lord willing, we're going to do that. But then I wanted to take the opportunity to speak to you guys. I understand not everybody can take off on a Tuesday in the middle of the week to go to Oklahoma City. And but our church was represented at the Abolition Day rally yesterday, and so I want you to know what our church was there doing and representing. I want you to understand what that's all about, and if you have questions, then you can ask me about that, and I'll try to help you the best that I can. But I think that one of the reasons God's wrath has been increasing on the United States of America is because we continue to allow child sacrifice. And I hope you understand why I call it that. In the Old Testament, we read about gods like Moloch. And parents would take their babies and sacrifice them to gods. They would burn them alive. And today, people are still sacrificing their babies to gods, but it's a different God. It's the God of self. Amen. And that's the hard truth. Now, I know some people hearing that would say, oh, but you don't understand how hard it is. You don't understand the reasons why. You don't understand. I understand that people have hard decisions to make, but there is no choice. You don't get to murder your babies. Amen. It's just not an option. There are lots of options, adoption being at the top of the list. The last numbers I saw, there's a 2 million person long waiting list in America for people to adopt babies. And the sad truth is, in America today, it costs somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 to $30,000 to adopt a child. But many states in the United States of America will give you pills to kill your baby at home for free. So if you're a little confused about why your pastor is passionate about this, why I bring it up pretty regularly, that's why. Because I believe that we have a God-called duty to stand for truth. Amen. And to defend those who are weakest among us, and to protect those who can't protect themselves. And quite simply, to love our neighbor, amen, wherever they are, even if it happens to be in their mother's womb. Psalm 82, verse 2. Psalm 82, verse 2. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that you bless our time in the Word tonight. And Lord, I know that this topic is very hotly debated in the world today. I know that there are passionate, strong feelings on every idea about this. But Lord, I pray that you would allow us to set aside all of those things and simply stand on the truth of the Word of God. I know that many people have personal experiences, and I pray that you'll give healing to broken hearts. I pray that those who are guilty would come to you for forgiveness, for we know that you are faithful and just to forgive all who come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say what I ought to tonight, nothing more, nothing less. Convict our hearts and strengthen our resolve that we would be strong and very courageous in the battles that we fight for your truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yesterday morning, 10 saints climbed into one of our church vans in the parking lot here and made the 2.5-hour drive to Oklahoma City, where we gathered on the south side of the Oklahoma State Capitol building with a couple hundred other Christians from around across the state of Oklahoma and beyond. And as we gathered outside of the Capitol building, we sang praises to Jesus together with those Christians. There were several speakers who got up and admonished us from the scriptures to love our neighbors, especially the preborn ones. We were encouraged to stay in the fight to see equal justice established in our state and ultimately our nation. We were challenged to stay involved. They commended us for being at the rally, but they said you can't be lazy, you can't be complacent, you can't just come to a rally once a year to ease your conscience. You have to stay in the fight. And I want to let you know that just because you couldn't go to the rally yesterday doesn't mean that you can't be involved in standing up for the preborn. Amen. And those of us who went, we can't say, well, I went to the rally, so I did my part. I believe that we need to be involved. Amen. Now, I've told you before that most of my Christian life, I've always been pro-life, and most of you tonight maybe identify as pro-life. And I want to make a distinction for you. I'm not pro-life, I'm an abolitionist. And what that means is, where pro-life Christian will endorse laws that help save some babies, an abolitionist demands that we stop killing any babies. Amen. I can't say it really any more plain than that, because, and I'll get into that a little bit more in a minute, but we know that life is valuable. Amen. Created in the image of God. From the rally, we went inside. We visited with our state representative. If you live anywhere around here, your state representative is Jim Olson. Some of you know Mr. Olson. And many of us had been to see Mr. Olson for several years in a row. We visited with him and had very much the same conversation we've had with him every year. Mr. Olson is a pro-life Republican. And Mr. Olson does not support the abolition of abortion. Now, I have a hard time understanding that, but that's the reality. We encouraged him to support the bill of abolition at Senate Bill 1729, authored by Dusty Devers, a pastor here in the state of Oklahoma who just recently won a seat in the Senate, but against all odds. He was going against an incumbent who had the full force and weight of the Republican Party behind him, and nobody thought Dusty Devers would win that seat, but he did. See, I think God's doing a work in our state, and that's because of God's people praying for that to happen. So pray for Mr. Olson. Pray that God will change his heart and his mind. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the abortion pill. I'm trying to find where the numbers came from. I haven't yet, but some of the men that I kind of follow who are leading the charge in the abolition movement have said that they've seen numbers that rank Oklahoma fifth in the nation for abortion pills right now, today, fifth in the nation. Now, if you have any idea about how many people there are in other states in the country and where abortion is free and easy in other places, that's staggering to consider. So pray for him, pray for God to change his heart. He told me, you ever get in a conversation with somebody and they say something and you know the next day you think of what you should have said? Yeah, well, that happened to me last night, this morning. One of the things Mr. Olson said is he's supporting a bill that is trying to stop the abortion pill by coming at it about how dangerous it is for the woman. I want you to stop and think about this for a second. We're going to say we can't have an abortion pill in Oklahoma because it's dangerous for the woman. You do understand that it kills the baby. Sometimes the abortion pill is dangerous for women. That's true, and that's a good reason to do something about it. But it's not the reason to do something about it. If it works right, it kills a baby every time. And so that's the kind of mindset of a pro-life Christian, is they're always trying to play the system. They're trying to play the game. And friends, we don't play games with God's truth. We shouldn't. From there, we got to meet Senator Tom Woods. For those of you who live on the north side of Sequoia County, Mr. Woods is your senator. He's from up around Westville. He's a young man. I am at the age now that my senator is younger than me. That's weird. Young Mr. Woods was very kind and receptive to us, very eager to look at the bills we brought before him and assured us that if he's not on that committee of Health and Human Services, but if Senate Bill 1729 makes it out of committee, that he will support it. So praise God for that. Amen. Pray for him. He just joined the Air National Guard, finished his training. He's been gone for 6 months and clearly has a desire to serve our country. I ask him about his testimony of faith in Jesus, and we had a really good visit, and I'm thankful and very hopeful for him. So pray for him. And then if you live on the south side of Sequoia County, Mr. Hamilton is your senator. And we didn't have to go find him and talk to him about supporting Senate Bill 1729, because at the rally, he was on the stage. And at the rally, he opened his Bible and read from the Word of God. And at the rally, Mr. Hamilton encouraged us to stand courageous like Joshua and to serve God. Amen. And so I just can't tell you. It's just an awesome thing to go to the state capitol. I visited there when I was in high school, and there wasn't any mention of God. I don't remember any reading of Scripture. I don't remember. They had a prayer, I think, before the sessions, but there were none of that. It all seemed very godless. I don't know how to say it. But when we gather there and we sing praises to Jesus, and when we gather there and people open their Bibles and read the Scriptures, and we gather there and say, we bow the knee to King Jesus. Amen. I love that. During the rally, there was a time they gathered in the rotunda, and the acoustics in there are phenomenal. And the people gathered around and sang more praises to the Lord, and it was just awesome. I've got a little clip of a video. If you want to see it, I'll show it to you. On Christ the solid rock, I stand. Amen. And so that's kind of the way the day went as we went to the Capitol and tried to be seen and heard. At the rally, there's a banner that they've had up there for years, and it came from one of the speakers at the rally several years ago. It's this huge banner they put on the stage, and it says, "Laws to murder babies are written here." And they made that banner because of something someone said in a speech. They pointed back at the building and they said that. Laws to murder babies are written here. And you say, well, how? We don't write laws. This is Oklahoma. We have pro-life laws. But I want you to just think about this for 1 second, if you would, please. If you say you can't kill a baby after you can detect a heartbeat, what have you said about those babies who don't have a detectable heartbeat? You said that you can kill them. If you say you can't kill a baby after they're 15 weeks old, what have you said about the babies before they're 15 weeks old? Are you guys tracking with me? I need you to stop and think about this. I wrestled with this for a while. Maybe you will too, and that's okay. Any law that gives exceptions is explicitly saying that it's okay in these cases. That means that you are giving permission to do that. C.R. Cowley said in his book on this topic, regulating abortion gives more than tacit permission. It definitionally governs, directs, and controls the killing of preborn children through rule and law. Rather than engendering an attitude of abhorrence for this slaughter, regulations legitimize the practice by dictating where, when, and how it is acceptable. Any law that sanctions the unjust killing of a human is by nature unjust. Amen. And so we have indoctrinated our society to thinking that it's okay to kill a baby sometimes. And you just fill in the blank for me, if you would, please. It's okay to kill a baby in the womb when Anybody? Never. Amen. It's never okay to kill a baby in the womb. Now, for those of you that studied all this out and you've got some serious concerns, let me allay a few things, set aside a couple of things. Abortion, we mean the intentional killing of a preborn baby in the womb. We're not talking about miscarriage. And God give grace and mercy to moms and dads who lose babies in the womb. And a miscarriage is not an abortion. Scientifically, medically, the term to help deal with that is called an abortion, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a miscarriage. That's the natural death of a baby in the womb, and only God is in control of that. Amen. Everybody with me? So I can already hear the people. You put some of this stuff on the internets, and people just come out of the woodwork. So we're not talking about the natural death of a baby in the womb. We're talking about the intentional killing of a baby in the womb. The second thing I want to tell you is abortion. We're not talking about ectopic pregnancy. That's something completely different. And dealing with an ectopic pregnancy is completely different. It's completely different medical condition. It's dealt with differently medically. It's just not the same thing. So we're not talking about ectopic pregnancies. We're not talking about miscarriages. We're talking about the intentional killing of a baby in the womb. All right? Since the Supreme Court decision to allow abortions, Roe v. Wade was overturned in June of 2022. A lot of Christians in America, and especially here at Oklahoma, they think that abortion's been dealt with, that it's all gone. It's all gone away. But the reality is the murder of children in the womb continues. And this was said yesterday, and it's 100% true. It's just moved from locations. It's moved from the clinics to the couch. Now, I don't know if Oklahoma truly is fifth in the nation in the number of abortion pills that are distributed here, but I do know this. I got on Google for about 10 seconds. I typed in abortion pill Oklahoma. I brought up one of the first websites that popped up, and I read that abortion pills are banned in Oklahoma, but here's how you can get them. And it gave links to about five different ways where you can get abortion pills in Oklahoma. And I saw a video not that long ago of some people in the abolition movement who wanted to prove how easy it was, and they did exactly that. They got online, they ordered the pills online, and in 5 days they had the pills in their home. If you're not bothered by that, you should be. So just allow me to remind you of some very simple facts, but important truths tonight. Number one, unique human life begins at fertilization. I tried to remind our legislators of this. Scientifically, we know this is true. Let me read you what the American College of Pediatrics says. The predominance of human biological research confirms that human life begins at conception, fertilization. At fertilization, the human being emerges as a whole, genetically distinct, individuated, zygotic, living human organism, a member of the species Homo sapiens, needing only the proper environment in order to grow and develop. The difference between the individual in its adult stage and its zygotic stage is one of form, not of nature. Okay? What does that mean? It means that anybody who's had a ninth grade biology class ought to understand this. Unique human life begins at fertilization. It's a unique human being with unique human DNA at that moment, and that human being is the same human being from fertilization till natural death. Amen. And if we're going to have biblical laws in Oklahoma, then we need to have laws that reflect that. Life should be protected from fertilization to natural death. Amen. Scientifically, we know it's true, but more importantly, biblically, we know it's true. And if the American College of Pediatrics said something different, it would not change the truth of the scriptures. That's our authority. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. You guys are familiar with this. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God knew, called, and ordained Jeremiah from the womb. He knew, called, ordained, filled with the Spirit, John the Baptist in the womb. Listen, life begins in the womb. Psalm 139:13. Psalm 139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Amen. This is a psalm, obviously some poetic language. He talks about being formed in the earth. We know that's a picture of the womb, but just get this. This idea of being wrought is the idea of being woven together. When scientists study how the human is formed in the womb, that's exactly how they describe it. Your tissues are being woven together. And God is the one who's doing that. Amen. And when there were none of those parts being woven together, he still knew you. Amen. And then he put you together. And he saw you when you weren't complete. And he wrote a book about you before he was even done forming you together. Amen. And you need to understand that life begins in the womb. There's no question about it biblically. We could look at so many more scriptures, but I just want you to see. So we go back to our text. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees and that write grievousness which they have prescribed. Listen, our legislators should be writing laws that are righteous. Amen. They should be writing laws that are true. They should be writing laws that are established on the word of God. Amen. And you ought to pray for that. Abortion destroys life at every stage of development. Amen. From implantation on, and therefore it is always murder. Whether it's a medical procedure or a medical pill, it's still murder. Laws against murder should be applied to all people equally. Any law that discriminates against any division of people is unconstitutional and, more importantly, unbiblical. So we want to have biblical laws that protect all life. So what should our response be? John Quincy Adams said, "Duty is ours. Results belong to God." John Quincy Adams fought his whole life to see slavery abolished in the United States. It's interesting how the cries have not changed in the abolition fight. In the fight to abolish slavery, men would say, "My property, my business." Today, women stand up and say, "My body, my choice." But the reality is, when you kidnap someone and take them as a slave, that's not your property. They're to be free. Amen. And the baby inside a mother's womb is not her body at all. Amen. And it ought to be the safest place on the planet. Amen. The abortion pill is two drugs. The first pill, according to Planned Parenthood, I want you to listen to their verbiage, stops the pregnancy from growing. You see how they use different words to make things sound better? It's not a pregnancy. It's a baby. Amen. And the reality is that first pill doesn't stop the pregnancy from growing. It forces the baby boy or girl to be separated from the mother's womb. The second pill that she takes forces the baby out of the mother's womb. We have millions of people in America arguing about whether women ought to be able to do that or not. That's the depravity of mankind. I don't know what else I could say to convince you that abortion ought to be abolished in this state and in this nation. But if But if you're still unclear, let me give you one passage of scripture before we close. Proverbs 24, verse 10. Proverbs 24, verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his work? We cannot sit by any longer and pretend like we don't know what's going on. We can't just sit back and say, well, I'm just going to do my best and vote for the best candidate I can. Friends, we have a unique responsibility in the United States of America. Our government is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. Amen. And so when we operate constitutionally, you can't point at the government and say, those guys. We have to point at ourselves and say, we are responsible. And it's not really complicated. There's still a super majority of Christians, at least by name, in the state of Oklahoma. And if all of the Christians in Oklahoma would stand up and demand that abortion was abolished in the state, those politicians in Oklahoma City would abolish it because they want to keep their job. Amen. But they don't know that you want it abolished if you don't tell them that you want it abolished. So what do? Number one, we pray. Pray to the God of heaven to abolish abortion in this state and that it would cause a tidal wave of abolition to go across this nation. Pray for our elected officials to establish just laws. Pray for God to change their hearts and minds, because friends, you and I can't change people's hearts, but He can. We have a responsibility to give them the truth, and they have a responsibility to obey God's truth. Pray for God to change their hearts and bring them under the authority of God and His word. Number two, so number one, and most importantly, pray. Number two, talk to your representative and senator. It's the easiest thing in the world to find their phone number and their email. If you need it, ask me and I'll get it for you. But you can call them. You can let them know what you want them to do. You can email them and plead with them. You don't have to be mean, but we can speak the truth in love, can't we? Somebody said yesterday we should lovingly threaten them. I'm not really sure what that meant, but I like it. No, we need to let them know. We expect you to enact just laws, and if you refuse to do that, we'll find somebody who will. Talk to your representative, talk to your senator. By the way, when they do good, let them know they do good. Senator Woods said, I get a lot of phone calls. They're not usually encouraging. Not getting a lot of attaboys. Usually it's somebody's mad about something. So call them. Let them know that you're praying for them and encourage them to do right. But we can lovingly let them know that if they're not going to stand for biblical truth, they don't have a permanent position. Amen. Number three, so pray, talk to your representatives. And number three, talk to your family and friends. Let me just encourage you, educate and equip yourself, and then talk to your family and friends. Pray for them. Try to see that their hearts and minds are changed. Everybody in this room has family and friends that go to other churches in this town. Don't you? They're believers too. But we need people from all over our communities to start calling and emailing and let our voices be heard. We're not going to be able to say, friends, in the day of judgment that we didn't know. Because God ponders our heart. God sees our heart. Amen. And He's going to hold us accountable. The first time I knew anything about abortion was years and years ago. It's really hard to even comprehend. This isn't for you kids, unless you get permission from your parents. They can check it out first. But there's an audio clip called The Sound of Abortion. If you've never heard it, you should look it up on YouTube tonight. The Sound of Abortion. If you don't know what YouTube is, talk to one of your grandkids. The Sound of Abortion is just an audio clip. It's just using some metal balls, each one representing a certain number of aborted babies. And this was years ago, And it's just the sound of a man pouring those out. And it's hard to listen to. Because it just keeps going and going and going. In the United States of America alone, since 1973, at least 65 million babies have been aborted. 65 million innocent lives taken willingly and legally under the laws of our land, but not so under the laws of God. Amen. The second one I would encourage you adults to look at, if you're still not sure on this issue, is a video called The Silent Scream. And if you haven't seen it, you ought to make yourself watch it. Check it out. Don't let your kids watch it until you watch it. Make sure you're okay with that. But it'll change your life when you start to find out what this really is. And God help us. God help us to do all that we can to see justice established for the preborn in this state. And may God grant that that change would start a chain reaction that would go across the land. There are a lot of Christians left in this country, believe it or not. And God has been faithful to bless the remnant before. I have hope that he'll do it again. Let's pray together. Father, this is such a heavy subject, and it overwhelms my heart when I stop and contemplate the reality of what's going on and what's gone on. And I just pray that you bless your word in spite of me, convict hearts. I pray that abortion would be abolished in this state and in this nation and in the world. I pray that just laws would be established in this state. I pray that you would open the eyes of our legislators, the ones who represent us here in Sequoia County and the ones who represent every Oklahoman, that you would open their eyes, help them to stand for the truth and to enact laws that are biblical and just. Please forgive us for our apathy. God, forgive me for my apathy. Please help us to love. And Lord, at the heart of it all, that we would remember the gospel. We're motivated by the fact that Jesus loved us so much. He died for us. He gave his life to save sinners like us. And it's only by your grace that we could ever even know what is just and true and right. So we thank you for Christ. We thank you for the gospel. We pray that you'll help us to live our lives with the gospel at the center of everything that we do. I pray for our senators and representatives who are not born again, that you would bring them to repentance and faith, that they would be saved, and that they would live and legislate like they're saved. Please help us in all that we do for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.